I think that I will never see something as gloopy as your V.
That's terrifying, Fuzz. You should delete your account.
I'm the one that can satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 318.
Delete your account.
I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzz.
And Chiva's not here. So it has been yet another week here in the magical land of Notcastia. We are adults. We're doing things. We're old. Yep, tis the season for being really fucking tired of politics. So we're throwing our official podcast endorsement behind the Sweet Meteor of Death 2016. A true 65-million-year-old paleo-conservative that will end all life on Earth.
Go the Onion.
Yep. It's actually a Twitter account, too.
Legalize a woo.
Taking that stand, you know, it takes balls to run around with a shirt like that in Texas, you know, legalizing anything is...
Yeah.
We like restricting things here in Texas.
Yeah, whether you're legalizing or restricting, we don't like it.
Yep. So, Zootopia's out on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. Watch everything.
Yep. I have it sitting right over there and haven't taken the time to watch it yet. I've only seen that movie once.
I watched the deleted scenes and deleted characters parts with Zap on Tuesday.
Nice.
We watched the longer version where the directors do the intros to the scenes and such, and pretty cool. I won't spoil any of them here for you. Check it out, though. But what was kind of funny about that, so I ordered mine from Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So number one... yesterday they sent me an email saying that they had refunded me 3 cents.
Nice.
Because the price went down to 1996, and I pre-ordered it at 1999, I guess. So they actually refunded me 3 cents. That was kind of funny. But also, I opened it up, and I got the Blu-ray DVD digital HD
combo,
which seems a sensible thing to do these days. But the little slip of paper with the digital HD code on it was missing.
Oh.
But Disney has this cool thing, which I mentioned before on the show, even though they don't sponsor it. It's called Disney Anywhere something like that, where you can link up multiple accounts. So I've got my iTunes, my Amazon, and my Google Play account all linked to it, so I can actually download Zootopia on my phone right now and watch it on Android, or I can grab it on iTunes, and I've already paid for it. So what happened was they actually had a link on I Googled how to fix it, and I found a link on their website, and then I got an email today saying we've added Zootopia to your account. We hope this solves the issue. Contact a cast member because they work for Disney. If you need any additional help. And sure enough, I checked my my Play Movies on my phone, and there it was. So they fixed the issue for me.
That's interesting. Like, I haven't even taken mine out of the shrink wrap, but the shrink wrap did look like it wasn't done right.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, the shrink wrap seemed okay-ish, but the Amazon box opened really easily. Yours looks about normal.
I don't know. It looks like it's been redone. So we're going to have a live Blu-ray opening. This is like a fucking...
It's an unboxing.
It's an unboxing
audio.
Yeah.
But their customer service was pretty quick, and they fixed the issue. And all I had to do was give them some of the numbers that were like on the package and stuff like that.
Nice.
And the UPC. So... That was pretty cool.
Oh, live podcast unboxing. Okay, I do have digital.
Yeah, see, I'm actually missing that piece. I have that piece of paper, which is just an ad thing for another thing they're selling.
Yeah.
But like this, I saw a photo of it online. I was like, nope, don't got that.
These are such flimsy feeling little things, too.
Because everyone's just going to use the digital version.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if people want the physical disc just in case. But the digital is where it's going to be. I'm going to force Panther to watch this. probably this week.
He hasn't watched. Oh, well, I guess he never leaves the house. I
guess. He stays in his lair.
Yes.
He hasn't seen Deadpool or Force Awakens either, and they're both right there on Blu-ray. Like,
uh-oh, he's a panther. I hope he doesn't get hit with any of the stuff. What is it called again?
Night Howlers?
Night Howlers, yes!
I was like, okay, I'm trying to think what the hell you're talking about in reference to Star Wars or Deadpool, and I'm like, what?
No, Zootopia. Yeah. Literally the conversation we were having less than a minute ago.
What? We're having a conversation? Who the fuck are you? Get out of my house!
God, you've got that short-term forgetty disease.
So, I had a fun thing today.
Memento the Fox.
Yeah. Wait, what are we doing again? So, I posted a thing on Twitter today. So, I follow lots of artists on Tumblr. And they reblog this thing from, like, this scaremongery, dumb, bullshit Tumblr thing. So, Tumblr is fucking awful. And I will say, Tumblr is awful for many, many reasons. Unless you use it for porn, then it's great. Where reblog chains, it's an ever-expanding delta of information. Somebody can post a, no, that's not the case, you're retarded, and it won't get seen if someone reblogs it from someone further down the chain, further up the chain. So in this case, it was, if you've ever heard of vector marketing, they recruit in high schools, they recruit at college campuses. It's basically door-to-door knife sales. They sell Cutco brand knives.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Homer Simpson, his brief thing with that. He's like, shake hands with a slash co. And he holds out, and the old lady grabs it and goes, ah! And he goes, handle first.
they posted this thing. It's like, oh, they're going to drug you with water and put in human traffic you. They target women and they target this. And then, like, further, my son got this and this and I got that. And claiming that, oh, it's this conspiracy. No, you dumb motherfuckers. They literally get, like, graduating student information from the schools themselves. And
I think I missed something there.
Basically, the Tumblr post was trying to say that this knife company that tries to recruit via high school graduates and college kids during the summer for summer work.
Okay.
Doing door-to-door knife sales.
Right.
Where, in fact, no, they're going to drug you, rape you, and drag you off to be a sex slave.
That the knife salesmen are going to do this?
Yes. That the company that's sending out the letters is going to do this.
But they're high school seniors. And
yeah.
Okay.
So, basically, it's this litany. 200,000 notes on this post. And I'm like, hi. You know, I reply because it's – I don't
why
know
why. Why not make it 200,001? Yeah. Your thought,
it's
I
like,
guess.
Hey, I dealt with these people and no, the only thing they're going to take advantage of is your wallet. You guys are literally retarded. Delete your accounts. It was more diplomatic than that, but it's like you really think highly of yourself if you think they're targeting your ass. No, they want you to come – and they do their little half-ass training, and they want to get $150, $200. I don't know how much their sales kit is now at Adia. And you get you basically get what could be a serial killer bag, actually. Because it's like five or six knives plus like a spoon and a cheese knife and some other shit. And you use it in your demonstrations. Oh, and some really, really great kitchen shears. Mm-hmm. Like, the product is great. Like, I'm not going to fucking lie. They're really good things. And they're sharp to this day. I've had them for 16 years, and they're great. But the company itself, like, the product's good. The company's not so great.
It's like sort of a pyramid scheme.
It is very pyramid scheme. You know, you get X per appointment. You get a commission based upon sales. Yeah. But you have to cold call people. They encourage you to recruit your friends and family members. They encourage you. They get you to do people you know. Right. And when I was doing this, was back when I was working at Toys R Us way back in the day. And, like, I was driving that van, and so $12 a fucking appointment was a real bad ROI. I only made about half my money back before I was like, this is stupid, and stopped answering their phone calls.
Oh, I just love you driving around in your creeper. I sleep in this van. And,
it was a 1994. four.
Would you like to buy some knives? Hey, kid, you got any stabbing to do? Would you like to buy a knife?
Actually, you know, when you put it like that, it actually is kind of terrible. Because I was, you know, a shy, nerdy, late teen mm-hmm. with a van and a bag full of knives coming to your house. You know, I could, there were drop-down privacy blinds on the back. Could have just covered the back of the interior of that van. You know, it was a queen-size bed. You know, cover that with some plastic sheeting and I have a mobile murder van. So,
is this plastic? Yes, it is.
Look at how quickly it opens your arteries.
Fort Worth psycho.
Yeah. You know, and now that you think about it, you know, I've been listening to a lot of last podcasts on the left, and I listened about all the shit those serial killers got away with before the information age, and I'm like, man, I couldn't do that these days. I mean, not that I would.
Man, it sucks living in the 21st century. Can't kill 10 people and get away with it. And taunt the police.
You know, Ted Cruz. You know, Zodiac Killer, he got away with it for a long time.
I love that. That was a meme. It makes zero sense.
He was born after that actually happened.
That's what they want you to believe.
Yeah, he's actually, you know, 20 years older than that.
That's right. Follow the money.
You know, it's because he bathed in the blood of the people he murdered is how he retained his youth. Follow the money. God. Else, man? Like, Twitter accounts got hacked, whoopty-fucking-do, change of passwords.
All of them? I mean, all the Twitter accounts?
It was saying, like, 32 million or something.
That's a lot.
You know, and it's probably like, hey, we're gonna sell off... Well, actually, there was a thing recently where a couple of high-profile... I think, like, the NFL, like, official NFL account got hacked.
Uh-huh.
And then there was another one... Like, some high-profile pop star got hacked.
I don't remember if it was you to reply to, but, like, I retweeted someone had screen-capped, like, some Donald Trump tweets. Oh. And it was, like, it was either a Photoshop or his account got hacked.
It was a Photoshop.
I don't know which, but they were pretty funny.
And, no, I didn't reply to those. I just saw them, and I was like, It was the... It was a paraphrasing in Trumpese of the tail end of Blade Runner.
That's right, yeah.
I've seen Steve, you know, on ships sunk fire on top of the really great shoulder of Orion. You know.
Sad! Exclamation point. Yeah, because, I mean, whenever you see some bullshit from Donald Trump, there are three or four possibilities. Number one, something he actually said. Number two, a really cleverly disguised parody account where there's like a letter
that's an I.
Yeah, or something like that. Three, Photoshop, exceptionally well done. Or four, his account legit got hacked.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like people really need to up their game on bullshit detection on the internet. It was some conservative account trying to claim that a female actress from Ash versus the Evil Dead was a Trump supporter that got beaten up by Bernie fans or something like that. And they were like, the account that I retweeted is like, oh my God, Bernie supporters are turning Trump supporters into Australian actresses. When will the madness end? It's like, And of course, you know, to their credit, the original account had not deleted it as of yesterday, but like, they hadn't double, triple down.
Right.
Lots of people were like, you guys are fucking morons. Can't you fucking... Like, either you're a bad faith actor and you're making shit up, or you're fucking morons who don't verify your images. Because seriously, right-click, search Google. It's in every fucking thing.
There's also a couple of other things. Like, there was some kind of picture of a family or something that got fucked over by some political person, but it turned out it wasn't. Or they were in a riot or something like that, but it turned out it was in, like somewhere in South America. It wasn't in, like,
well, there was one, there was
America,
like,
somewhere.
Family supports Trump, and it's a black family, and it was just a photo with text plastered over it, and they found the actual people, and they're like, Like, hell, we support that fucker.
That's right. Yeah, I heard about that one, too. Yeah.
Like, come on, y'all.
It's like someone in the campaign to, or whoever wrote the article just grabbed a random image of a family. And
yeah, it's like, how can we bolster his support from the African-American demographic? Quick, let's make one up. Yeah.
That's pretty fucking crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've just been losing my mind this week. Work's been...
You've had to go into the office.
I've had to go into the office because it's the big month accounting thing. And it's just been... It's not just going into the office has been stressful. It's just the environment and, you know, all of the... There's no real strategy to anything.
Like it's just a big cluster.
It is. It's a big mess. There aren't any procedures worth a shit. And everyone is just flailing their arms around, and it's like they're like, oh my god, this all has to be done right now, and I'm like, well, you need to send me some work, you know. And anyway, it's just been a pain in the ass. But on top of that, like Anthrocon in like 3 weeks, and I gotta be one of the only furries in the world that sounds distressed about that. Because I'm like, fuck, I've got to do all this shit.
Yeah.
Books.
Books. Well, speaking of cons, Acon was last weekend. And that went pretty well.
Yeah, right.
Tabled and had a panel, and everything went way better than expected. It's always very nice.
Yeah.
We had, you know, some friendly...
Nobody walked up and went, man, they're letting bronies be in here now?
Yeah, well, this is actually the first year that we've had a table that nobody did that. The last couple of years, there were some shits. Couple of them, but nothing like, no, like, you fuckers need to get out and be like, no. But, you know, this year, everybody was like, either they walked up and grabbed a flyer, they just kind of shrugged and wandered on. Which is a good thing. I mean, and some of them were like, oh, that's really cute. I'm not into it, but it's cute. And they would take a flyer. It's like, maybe you know somebody who is.
Yeah.
We got a new artist to do our stuff this year, and it's really cute. Has little chibi bat ponies on the back.
Yeah, I haven't seen the finished product yet.
There's a pile of them right over there on my desk. So, fun story about those is... I got them on Thursday when it had been pouring fucking rain.
Oh, yeah.
And I had fucking splash up into the trunk of my car. So I had to, like, pull out vast quantities of those flyers and, like, make sure that they had not gotten damaged.
Oh, jeez.
I only lost, like, maybe 20, 30 flyers due to water damage. But I had to actually pull out and open all the boxes and make sure that the ones that were closest to the bottom weren't actually soaked through.
Yeah.
That was scary. Because that's like $600 for the flyers.
Yeah. I mean, you do have to act quickly on that. Otherwise, it would have just soaked all the way through the box.
Well, I mean, I made sure to... I was like, I got to bring them in the moment I get them home just in case. Because, well, plus, I didn't want to have to cart five and a half boxes of that size. And they're 40 pounds of flyers in each box.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, glossy stock flyers kind of add up into weight.
They do. But thankfully... Nothing happened there, and like I was able to give away a bunch of we get the art cards each year, right? And I've been giving them away at conventions that I go to, and I try to let people get the full sets.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the back of my closet, I found just this cache of prints from year fucking one.
Yeah.
That I was like, where were you fuckers? And so I gave them away, and I gave away a bunch of the art cards from this last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice. People liked that. I've had like the free prints. The asterisk, yes, free, asterisk, contains ponies. And some people, like, they would see the free flyers, they'd free, and they'd run up and look and be like, oh, eh, and they'd wander on. It's like, oh, that's not the free I want.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know.
And I got to see lots of good cosplay. There wasn't a ton of fursuiters, but there was, you know, the Doctor, plenty of Doctor that, and Ruby, and there was several good Zootopia cosplays. There was actually a group Zootopia cosplay.
Yeah.
They had, female Clawhauser, Nick and Judy, Finnick. They had five people. Oh, and then there was just Captain America was with them. It's like, they're the fifth person in the group that's like, I'm not cosplaying in your group cosplay. I'm fucking Captain America. So they were no fun. But it was really cute. There was lots of... I mean, Judy's a real simple cosplay to do, so there was quite a few good ones. you know, it was all around pretty good time. They didn't seem to have been impacted by Dallas Comic Con sitting on their weekend.
I was like, meanwhile, I was at Akon's evil rival, Dallas Fan Expo.
And I'm just like, shrug.
Apparently, like, there's a history there.
Fan Expo's just jerks.
But they do get good guests.
So. And they pay their guests, unlike, say, Space City Con.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Space City Con's kind of a shit show. But, yeah, I went to Dallas Fan Expo, and they had five Doctor Who guests, but I'd already met Freeman. They had four Doctor Who guests that I had not met yet.
Yeah.
So they had the 12th Doctor. It's the first time I've met a current Doctor, a sitting Doctor, if you will, although we're standing in a picture. But he was sitting down later. So,
yeah.
And part of the reason is I remember several years ago when David Tennant was in a role and people were asking if he would do conventions, and it came up that it was actually a stipulation of his contract that he couldn't do fan conventions. Like, the only convention he could do was San Diego Comic Con, because that was under the auspices of the BBC. And I'm assuming that the same is true of Matt Smith, because I didn't meet Matt Smith until after he was out of the role. And I'm assuming that the reason that Capaldi is able to do some cons is because there's only one episode of Doctor Who this year. The entire year, there's going to be the Christmas special.
Oh.
Yeah. So the last episode there was Christmas 2015. Next episode is Christmas 2016. And then the next season is spring 2017. So I think maybe getting him out on the road and kind of keeping the fandom flame going.
It also may be a thing that he can't do tours while they're filming.
Yeah, somebody asked him in the Q&A and when they were going to film, and he said they're start in 2 weeks. So he's doing these cons literally like right before they start.
Hey, so, extra money for him.
He and Jenna Coleman, fucking troopers, though. So they got off of their flight from the UK, came to Fan Expo. Jenna's panel was on Friday, so she went, like, immediately to her panel.
Uh-huh.
And Peter went and started doing autographs. And then the two of them basically did autographs all day, and then they did the big panel Friday night, which was the two of them and Michelle Rodriguez, who plays Missy. So they had they called it Tales from the TARDIS, and it had all three of them. It was really cool and everything like that. And then they did photo op with everybody that got, like, the gold ticket, and then we got our autographs. And then, so they worked real hard doing that Friday and Saturday, and then they both flew across the country to go to Awesome Con, which is in D.C., I think. Washington, D.C. For Sunday. They were a Sunday-only appearance at another convention.
Jeez.
And then, I don't know if they flew home after that. But just to fly that 9-hour international flight over here, immediately into working all convention, only to get on another plane and go to another convention.
See, you know, those Comic-Cons work the actors to the bone, but it is a very lucrative couple days of work for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, this is like his first convention appearance as the 12th Doctor.
Yeah.
So, you know, fans are going to turn out in droves. Like, holy shit, we get to meet the Doctor while he's the current Doctor, you know?
Yeah, and he gets at least 50% of those autographs.
And he's been the Doctor for 2 years, and it's like, we haven't gotten to meet him, you know? Apparently, Awesome Con dropped the ball a little bit from what I saw on Twitter. They oversold VIP tickets, and they oversold photo ops. So, like, Peter and Jenna's panel was supposed to start at X time, and people were tweeting that it was like running, like, it was 90 minutes late.
Oh.
Because they were still getting through the line of people that bought photo ops and stuff. And they were like, they weren't sure if, like, the people that paid extra for the VIP tickets were going to get their VIP seats because everything got clusterfucked. And I don't know how it eventually shook out, but it sounds like they're like, oh my God, they're only here for one day. Sell all the fucking tickets.
Yeah, and that's...
You do have to sort of let reality and time has sort of limits. Yeah, you know?
that was probably a... That was a either inexperienced and or greedy con org.
I think it's only a second or third year convention.
Inexperienced.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I'm sure that I could sell a shitload of my top tier tickets at my con, and I could make a lot of money that way, but that would also present a whole host of other problems.
Yeah.
So it's like, I have to limit that shit. You know, I still, you know, I don't have any convention DLC. There's no, like, panels that cost shit that I take money for.
Well, I,
you know,
I did that.
Pat, you know, I'm just gonna, your money, your choice.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, this is, I'm talking about, like, prospective convention organizer, because this is actually something I do surprisingly still care quite a bit about.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of, this is actually something interesting. So, New York Comic Con. Did you see that thing that I posted about their fan verification?
I saw you post a link. I've been working so much this week, I didn't have time to read it.
Okay, so New York Comic Con is a 160,000-person event. Fucking huge. And they did two things this year. One, they're flattening out their ticket level. There is going to be attending and children's.
Single day passes?
Well, in single days.
Okay.
So basically, they're making it so that everybody's an attendee, and I'm sure that they're going to make up for it in certain areas by, like, extra cost DLC kind of stuff.
Right.
Pay for panels, pay for autographs, whatever. But another thing they're doing is, quote, fan verification. And only reason I know about this is because somebody on Twitter started running their fucking mouth, claiming, oh, these fuckers, they're gatekeeping. How dare they? This is terrible. Are they trying to make you prove anything? And I'm like, did you even fucking look at it?
Mm.
No. So I'm like, you're full of shit. Shut up. I actually go through, all right, I'm going to give my phone number. They send me a verification code, sign up, and it's just a fucking demographic thing. What they're trying to do is curtailing scalpers. Apparently, it was enough of an issue that they actually decided they're going to this more, like, assigned badges with names on them and, like, an extra step to, you know, weed out known scalpers. Stuff right. like that. So they're trying to make it more equitable so the people that actually will take the effort to go to the con and get badges can get their badges. Because I'm sure it's an event that sells out real quick.
Yeah.
Like,
I know San Diego Comic Con, it's apparently pretty difficult to get a hold of the ticket. So if New York is that large, I imagine it's a similar situation.
And with PAX South, right, they don't have assigned badges. They're just arbitrary numbers. And you have scalpers outside the fucking convention center all the goddamn time going, hey, you need a badge? Got badges. Hey, you want to sell your badge? I'm like, fuck off. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's an issue because, you know, PAX does actually limit the number of badges you can purchase, I think, to 4. Mm-hmm. But even then, it's a problem, you know, because people are like, I got my badge. It's $700, you know, whatever. And so they're trying to be more equitable. And, like, and they ask, like, what are you excited to see at the con? And, like, there's a drop-down with, like, 20 different options. Basically, they want to know what their attendees are interested in seeing. Have you been to the con before? And, you know, and someone, like, I posted pictures of it was like, well, there's a drop-down for gender. And it has 3 options. Male, female, self-identify. And if you self-identify, it pops up a little fucking text field.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, they've covered all their fucking bases here.
Right.
And have set up a system so that to minimize the number of scalpers and people, like, don't take half a second to just go through the process and see what's it fucking about before they start claiming, oh, they're trying to gatekeep the con. It's like, well, that's actually a proper kind of gatekeeping and is actually a very consumer-friendly way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's limits, you know, you can tell them, how many badges do you want to buy? Like, when you finish it out, it's like, well, I, you know, for me in this case, like, I would like to purchase 1 3-day attending badge. And so when they open up, it'd be like, hey, you want to buy your one badge? Yes, no. And it's like, and if no, well, I'm not going to go to New York Comic Con. It's in New York.
Right.
You know, but that's cool that they're making that effort.
Yeah, it is. Because, I mean, when you think about it, from a convention perspective, they got, say you got 100 tickets to sell, and you just sell those 100 tickets. You don't have to give a shit. You got yours. If you sell them for $50 each, you've made your money and you're done. But if you do give a shit about, hey, some guy didn't show up and buy all 100 and then sell them for twice as much, if you want, like, actual regular everyday people to be able to attend your convention at the price that you set, then for them to put in a mechanism to try and control the scalping like that, it actually shows that they do give a shit and they're not just like, you know what, we sold our 160,000 tickets, fuck it, we don't care.
It is something that you would see a smaller con do. Like, for me, I don't have to worry about scalpers.
Yeah.
Like, I have mechanisms in place for my limited number of top-tier tickets. If I see somebody buying up 5 or 6 of them, I can contact them and be like, excuse me, what the fuck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And because badges are tied to a name, and apparently so are they. They're doing that with their badges as well. So it's not just, hey, it's a 3-day attending badge. It's a 3-day attending badge that has a name on it. Think more like Akon doesn't have much in the way of badge security, at least for the badge I got this year. But like Anime Fest, you've seen their badges. There's like 3 different types of verification things, and it has like all this shit to basically tie it to a person.
Hmm.
It would be really simple for me to hand my badge to someone else, and they could pretend to be me for the day.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also one of those things that if they needed to check...
They didn't really tie for a fan expo, they didn't tie the badges to a person, but they basically had 2-factor identification, at least for the VIP level. They mailed me a badge and a wrist strap, and I had to have both on to get to like the VIP areas, like the front of the line and the VIP lounge and stuff like that. And they're like, any tampering with the wrist strap
invalidates
it. Yeah, and you have to put it on tight enough that you can only get like a single finger under it, meaning you can't put it on super loose on a skinny arm and then trade it with your friends or something. Yeah. Right. So they had certain things like that. Now, I didn't once have to show ID or anything the whole weekend.
They can just see, like, boop, boop.
Yeah.
One of the nice things that Anime Fest does that, you know, I certainly will never have the money to do, they have RFID stickers.
Mm-hmm.
So they have really nice badges. I love their badges. They're great. Very expensive per unit, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically a fold-in-half card. On the front it has, you know, your badge name. Registered name is printed in the inverse. It has a QR code on the back of it. It has, like, the map of the place. And on the interior, they have an RFID sticker. And anytime you go into a panel room, they scan your badge to make sure that it's a genuine badge. And they also, they can see, you know, the traffic.
Right.
Attendance of a panel.
They probably got a lot of good data from that.
Like, that's fucking great. That's some good demographic information. You can see what panels people don't attend, what panels people want to see attend, so you can shuffle things around for the next year.
Yeah. It's
really fucking smart. I love the data capabilities of it.
Yeah.
Far outside my scope.
Yeah, you would need the funding, and you'd also need someone with, like, all the technical experience to make it worthwhile.
And Anime Fest, they've been going for, like, at least a dozen years at this point, so they have the legacy and the money to do it.
Yeah,
I like the mechanics of running conventions. They're just a headache, but I love like the business behind it. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you don't like is the drama of the community that you're involved in.
Like the actual mechanics, the execution portion is intriguing, and I enjoy it. It's just the drama and the bullshit around it.
Yeah, there's unfortunately some attendees that you'd like to execute.
Yeah, whew, man.
You know, break
their
ponies. All you gotta do is break their leg, and then Texas, you can legally kill them.
Yeah. Well, there's some folks. Let me tell you, but we're not gonna do that on this show.
Yep.
So let's see. It's funny. We're having our like, oh, we're tired. We're like, oh, get to convention talk. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, that show is all like, ugh, work sucks. But, you know, last weekend, oh, my God, I woke up on Saturday after having stood a lot on Friday. And, like, my feet reminded me of every moment I had been on them the previous day.
And you were like, fuck you, feet, I had fun.
Yeah, and Sunday night, Sunday night was kind of grueling. We had to, because I had to wait in line like over an hour. But it was for Jay and Silent Bob, Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes, and their meet and greet was delayed through no fault of their own or the con. They were coming home from an international flight. So they also went right from an international flight to the car to the hotel to have the fastest shower ever together in brackets. This is from Kevin Smith's Twitter account. And of course, a couple people posted pics or it didn't happen. and then right to the fucking meet and greet, you know? And this will lead me on another discussion here in a second. But basically, it was cool. It was cool meeting them. Of course, everything is fast, fast, fast at these fucking cons. They like, get you in there, pose, next! You know, literally yell. And then you're like, okay, thank you very much. Bye.
Big fan, bye.
And that's it. But I didn't come in UP, I swear. I got to meet Jay at that horror con that we went 2 years ago. If you remember, but I'd met Kevin before, but I had not gotten a picture with him because that wasn't available at the time at the con that I met him at. So this was cool. I've got a picture of me with Jay and Silent Bob, and I've been a fan for years. Like, I got to meet your spirit animal. But this led me to something interesting that Sparf had posted about was apparently last weekend was the weekend for conventions or something. Yeah. There was a lot of them going on.
Apparently, for Acon, that other con, Awesome Con, mm-hmm. Fan Expo.
Yep. One of the things Sparf had apparently seen was people bitching about these actors charging for autographs, and it's disgusting. And you know, and I'm like, okay, there's multiple things here. Number one, for the very well known actors, the money probably goes to the convention to subsidize getting them out there and paying their appearance fee.
About 50%.
But I've known of some of the lesser known actors or the people that their 15 minutes has kind of come and gone, and like, the con will give them a table space and will advertise them, but they don't get paid to go, but they keep all their autograph and photograph money. So if you're a little lesser known, that kind of works out for you. Because, like, you wonder, some cons get the same people every year. It's like, and that's just how it works out for them. So if they don't charge, they're not making any money. Yeah. That weekend. And, you know, it's work, you know?
Another angle that you haven't touched on is that for a lot of these people, they're working all the goddamn time.
Yeah.
And so if they're cutting out for a weekend to do a con, they're not working that weekend.
Right.
Or in some cases, they're not seeing their families. Say there's a certain voice actress on Ponies who works in Vancouver, her family lives in like Manitoba or whatever. Uh-huh. So on the weekends, she goes back home to see her kids. And if she's going to a con that weekend, she's not seeing her kids. So there's a premium to that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, there's actually some fairly decent reasoning as to why certain people cost, like why there's these costs.
Yeah.
Like if they were cutting out for a weekend that they could be shooting commercials, they want to be made whole. And that's mm-hmm. an appearance fee. And it's like, it's not always so cut and dry. There are some folks out there that are like, I don't want to be here, Steve. Better pay out the ass for me to show up. But yeah, there's also people that are like, I could be in the studio recording. I could be doing some bar gigs in my hometown. Mm-hmm. So you better fucking pay up. Again, this goes back to the business side of running cons that people most never interact with.
Yeah, but it doesn't come down to greedy conventions and greedy actors.
Actually, more convention talk.
Sure.
So we talked about, we briefly touched upon Space City Comic Con.
Yeah.
That was the one that was 2 weeks ago where the con basically cratered themselves deeply into the red because. So what happened? Because I had this. My Acon weekend was full of con talk.
Actually turns out less their fault.
Yeah. Well, what happened? So a lot of these cons like that, that get a bunch of these high powered guests, basically say, look, don't cash this check until X date, all right? Because they go into the con with nothing in the bank. which is terrifying. I would never do this. Mm-hmm. But basically, they make the money on the weekend and then say, good, the money's in the bank. You can cash it. What happened, and this is from somebody who was in the know, basically, when they got there, the con hadn't put a credit card on file for incidentals. So what the dudes, the clients thought was that the con had fucked up and was they were putting their credit card down for the entirety of the stay. And so they immediately panicked and were like, fuck. So they tried to go and cash the check, their appearance fee check, which there was no money in the account, which caused everything to just snowball. So basically a shoddy, scary business practice on the behalf of the con and a talent person freaking the fuck out and trying to cash a check they were told not to try to cash yet basically sent that con six figures in the red.
Ouch.
Yeah. So that's terrifying. Seriously, guys, the amount of money in play for a convention of the size of like Dallas Space Fan City Days or Space Days, Day. Yeah. Well, Akon, man. Akon, Jesus Christ, man. Mm-hmm. Like, and even we've talked about Fiesta, we're in the low six figures at this point for our budget, but and that's for only 3,000 or so people. Think about these cons that have 30,000, 100,000. The amount of money in play is staggering. Oh, God, it gives me chills. Just to think about, like, how hard a con can crater with just a few bits of bad faith mm-hmm. action on multiple parties' parts.
Yeah. There's on convention topics, this shout out to my Doctor Who fans out there in the audience. So there is Alamo City Comic Con.
And that's in
October. October 29th will be the day I'll be there. So they have, I believe it is, three Doctor Who guests, none of whom I've met.
Cool.
So they have the 10th Doctor, David Tennant, his companion Rose, Billy Piper, and the 111th Doctor companion I haven't met, Amy, Karen Gillan.
Cool.
So then I will have met Amy and Rory. So, of course, Rory is coming with me. Fez as well, because he has his picture taken with the doctor. And
you can't take both your kids with you.
I have to, yes. But we also had this neat idea. So this was kind of cool. It made me feel pretty good. Was Sunday of the con. I'm just about to go home. And I am texting my sister, you know, about the con and stuff like that. She's like, hey, if you ever see either of these people at a con, you gotta let me know so I can come out there. And one of them
was at
John Barthnall, I think his name is, something like that. Yeah, but anyway, one of them was at the con. This guy played Shane on The Walking Dead. He also plays the Punisher on Daredevil and is going to be in the Punisher TV series when it comes out. So my sister is a big fan of his. And I was like, wait a minute, that name's familiar. And I was like, hold on. And I looked through the program and I'm like, shit, he's here. Shit.
He's here.
The dealer's room closes in like 10 minutes or something like that. So I'm about to walk out the door. So I go back up there. And there's a few people, Billy, there's like a few people in line. And I show my VIP badge and the guy's like, okay, go on up. So I was like, awesome. So I got her an autograph, and I had to personalize it because it's her birthday next month. I'm gonna mail it to her, and she seemed very happy about that. But the idea is he's also going to be at the Alamo City Comic Con along with most of the cast of Gotham, which she's also a big fan of. So we're talking about my sister is going to fly out here to Dallas, and then she and I are going to road trip down to San Antonio to go to this convention.
Nice.
And it's like it'll be like back in the day, you know, when we used to go to cons and concerts and stuff like that. Like it was the 90s. I took her to see Bush. I took her to see Marilyn Manson and Smashing Pumpkins. And it's something that we haven't done in a long time. And now George we're both Bush's adults.
Cocaine
and,
tour.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it'd be kind of nice to, like, sort of revisit that again. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really excited. But, yeah, if anyone in the audience has not met David Tennant, who seems to have a lot of fans.
A few.
He's going to be at Alamo City Comic Con, which is in San Antonio, Texas, last weekend in October. So,
yeah.
That being said, is there anything else in the fandom that you wanted to touch on? I don't remember. Because, like, you made a couple of tweets about topics like convention stuff, and Zootopia came out on Blu-ray, and we talked about that briefly.
Yeah, it was just like, hey, there's stuff to discuss, and now we're 50 minutes into the episode, and we've talked about a lot of things.
Well, do you want to stop and save, and then we can read email when we get back?
Yep.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more, with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It can be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code NOT at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping when you enter offer code NOT. That's K-N-O-T at AdamandEve.com.
We're back! Yay! That was an Adam and Eve ad. Unless you're a Patreon subscriber, then you don't get those. You get a little music stinger instead. Isn't that nice?
Okay. I didn't know you did that.
Yeah. There's a Patreon version, and there's the regular version.
Oh.
Patreon.com/notcast. Support the show.
Yay!
I've already got an offer of a blowjob if I go to fucking BLFC next year. It's kind of terrifying, actually. Don't just come out of the blue and be like, I'm going to suck your dick. It's a little terrifying.
Show, let me suck your fat fennec cock.
Yeah.
Put it in my mouth. Open their mouth and it's just spinning razor
blades. It's not just my body that's thick. So, yeah, we're going to hit our emails now. We have a half dozen here, so we're going to get right to it. You can always send us comments and email to notcast@foxduffers.com. You can always send us asks via our Tumblr, notcast.tumblr.com.
You can always send us ass via conventions when you're like, yo, Saverin, I want to suck your dick.
Look, I got to know you first. I'm not just going to be like, yo, random blowjob. No.
Know them biblically? Does that count?
No. So this first one is just not so much a question, it's sort of a thank you, right? So FPS Junkie says, dear Notcast, I just want to thank Saverin for mentioning last podcast on the left a few weeks back. Absolutely love this podcast, but Notcast will always be my first and favorite podcast.
Woohoo!
Hopefully I can support you on Patreon real soon. Keep up the good work, you guys. Magustalations, hail Gein, and hail yourselves from your rug fucker fan, FPS Junkie 22.
Nice.
Hail Satan! So have you had a chance to listen to the show, Fuzz?
I did listen to the 2 episodes I did on the Hillside Stranglers.
Yeah. And there's still a 3rd episode to come. It's really fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys are real pieces of shit.
I want to hear the one they did on Manson. Apparently they did like a 4 or 5 part.
Yeah, 4 part one. It's like, yeah, it's fairly sympathetic until the murders start. And he's a real fuckbag.
You're like, wow, this poor guy. Oh,
he's like, this guy's been fucked every step of the way. He's still a shitbag. God, yeah, there's some real good. I say good. Episodes talking about like serial killers and conspiracy theories, and they do the light ones on like chemtrails.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's see, what do I have left? So I have episode 135 and 136 is about Ted Kaczynski, and then 134 is Alien Human Hybrids, is an episode on Waco. There's a 2-part thing, Australian Serial Killers Part 1 and Part 2. You know,
are they spiders?
Let's see, O.J. Simpson, episode 129. Now, these are guys, they're up in episode 226 right now.
Mm-hmm.
That was the 225 and 226 are the Hillside Stranglers.
Yeah.
So, part 3 is coming. But yeah, I've been working my way back, and I've learned a lot of things. On one hand, I like living in the information age where serial killers are a lot easier to catch and you don't see a lot of the shit that just fucking people got away with back in the day. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Like, you realize that the police really didn't give a half a shit until like the 1970s. Really kind of fucked up. Like, they wouldn't. Like, their left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing, even if the precincts were fucking blocks apart kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, like, wow. In the early 70s when police started
I guess that's when they started getting more, like, walkie-talkies and stuff like that. Just
cross-communication and, like, yeah. Less dick-wavy. It was fucked up. So, last podcast on the left. It's really cool. Also, they're getting to do the fucking, like, podcast touring and shit. They've got a Patreon that's really doing well on them. We need to talk about serial killers, Fuzz, but they already got the niche. What fucked up thing can we talk about?
Furry serial killers. We need somebody to start right now, and we'll talk about you. No, don't do that.
There is that screen cap of Wikipedia. It's like a list of serial killers by number of victims. This list is incomplete. You can help by expanding it.
The other one I really like is the list of sexually active popes that has this list is incomplete. You can help by expanding it. And the person that tweeted it said, does Wikipedia want me to fuck the Pope?
Yeah, Pope fucker.
.com. So next email question, which I will read and Savern will answer because he looked up the information on this.
Yep.
Subject is Stardew Valley question. Hey, can you tell me where I can find that Stardew Valley mod you mentioned that turns the characters into dragons? Thanks.
Okay, so there are two places that you can get mods for Stardew Valley right now. It does not have workshop support on Steam, so you don't have the native mod installation stuff. But turns out that this is actually by Chucklefish, being published by Chucklefish Games, same guys who did Starbound. And therefore, they have a lot of really good mod supporting on their forums. So if you go to the forums for Stardew Valley, if you just look up Stardew Valley Furry Mod, there's like a whole fuckload of them. Or you can go to Nexus Mods and they have a whole fucking list. Mm-hmm. And like I open up the page and there's like all these sprite replacements and like you can change it so that your dog is like the dog from Secret of Nevermore on the SNES and other stuff. You can basically change the art of that game entirely. If you want to.
The only thing I know about the version Tyrion has is there's a grumpy old man in the regular version who becomes a grumpy badger instead in the furry one.
Yeah.
I don't know what the name of the
version is. So basically spend some time on either their forum or Nexus Mods. You can find them. It's not as elegant as Steam Workshop support, but they do have a lot of good modding tools and mod availability. And that dude's made so much money. I love it when, like, indie devs are like, this is a passion project. Oh, I never have to work again.
Yay! Yeah.
It's always a good thing. So, the next one is Furry Sci-Fi and Zootopia. Regarding your previous question about furry sci-fi comics, Corvus Pointer is doing an adult comic called Mercenary Position, which has a sci-fi setting and features a mercenary rhinoceros as the main character. See this link. It's on Fur Affinity. I'll put the link in the show notes. Also, you might like to check out this Not Safe for Work Zootopia animation by Zonk Punch. It's amazing, especially Judy's seriously face at the end. Support the artist! That's the one where it's Judy and Nick fucking in the car, and it's this really, really long animation.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, yeah.
Lots of not popping, and...
Yeah, and she's, like, comes on her face, and she's like, ugh, god damn it, you know. So, you can find it on E621, but it's also on there for Affinity, so that will also go on the show notes. Yeah. It's like we're telling about people about all these like GIFs and images, and we're not. It's a podcast. It's like, hey, Fuzz, check out this fucking hot animation. And you're like, oh yeah, that's great.
And then there's just another 20 minutes of silence and the big fapping sounds.
20 minutes, God.
Whatever. I don't time that shit.
All right.
Is that too long or too short?
Anyways.
No, seriously, tell me.
That seems like it would take... That's a bit longer. But then again, some days you just want a nice long wank.
That's right, yeah.
Some days it's like, man, I've got a fucking boner. I got to deal with this shit. Ugh! And then it's like, I'm going to take my time.
Yeah.
Anyways, so next email, Fuzz. Hey, look, it's from Jeeves the Bunny.
Well, you're so unlikable, your hand falls asleep in the middle.
never had that problem, thankfully.
I haven't, but...
There are some people that are just that gross.
You're just that boring, you know. Your technique's just shite. Okay, vanilla versus non-sexual. Dear Notcasters, a shorter email this week. Yeah, I didn't even have to really scroll on my screen here.
It fits on my horizontally orientated iPad original.
OG, iPad OG, compared to my novel last week. Thanks, Saverin, for plowing through it in less than an hour.
I word fast.
My question is, do you guys ever come across people who confuse being vanilla with not liking sex or not wanting / having a libido? I told someone yesterday my sexual experiences were fairly vanilla, and they responded by saying they were surprised that someone who writes as much detailed smut as I do didn't like or have more sex. I thought at first they meant different kinds of sex through a greater variety of kinks, but when I clarified that the majority of my past partners and I enjoyed rather healthy sex lives together, they seemed surprised, as if I had just contradicted myself. Is this a common misconception? Or did I just encounter someone who is so kinky that they feel like regular manual oral or vaginal sex and its associated foreplay barely counts? Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Bunny, Scotland. That seems like an odd attitude to have.
Yeah.
Like, not understanding the difference between vanilla. I mean, vanilla sex is still sex.
Yeah, you're still fucking. It's just you're tying each other up and whipping each other with red vines.
What's a red vine?
Twizzler.
Oh. Ow, okay.
I'm making something up here for comedic effect. Thank you, Fuzz.
That is painful only because I really don't like licorice.
Yeah, the red licorice, it's not actually licorice. It doesn't have the anise in it. It's just candy.
It doesn't have anus in it? Regular licorice has anus in it?
That's why it's so disgusting.
Oh, my God. You'd think I would like that. You know, I'd be eating that shit out.
God damn it, Fuzz.
I mean, I'll take a piece of black licorice and I'll just spiral it in a little circle and then I'll rim it. And, you know, maybe that's the way I need to enjoy regular black licorice.
I think this kind
of... Did it make a vanilla licorice in case I want to, like, pretend I'm rimming someone with a bleached asshole?
God damn it, Buzz. Anyways, I didn't think there's actually kind of the same mentality where it's like when an artist draws kinky shit... And then they're like, oh, man, I saw you draw that insert incredibly specific kink here. Like, bet you fucking love doing that right in real life. And they're like, what? I just draw what I'm paid to draw.
I saw that fisting commission. I bet you'd love me to shove my whole arm into you.
We're going to play puppet theater. You're the puppet.
And it's like, I mean, maybe they do, and there's nothing wrong with that. Or, you know, maybe they don't.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like a lot of fetish stuff doesn't necessarily translate to real life. And even if you're writing about it, it doesn't mean you necessarily want to do it in real life.
I mean, I've only read about one person that's been like, hey, I really enjoy vor, want to eat me in real life.
Yeah.
And that was some crazy guy in Germany.
German sex cannibal.
Wow, it's that famous that actually has a shorthand name. Yep. Did Last Podcast on the Left do an episode on it?
Nope, I'm just a freak.
Okay, fair enough. I knew that. They probably should. You should write to them and be like, hey, you should do an episode about this.
I bet they actually have done an episode on cannibalism.
Mm-hmm.
I should look that up. I bet they have.
Yeah. Mm. Important things to look up.
Yep.
Clear your fucking calendar, man.
Man, let me tell you, I've learned so many things. Mm-hmm. So many things.
You may not need eyes to see when you're going to hell, but unfortunately for you, you have them now, and you've seen some shit.
Yes. So I think that you just encountered somebody weird, Jeeves, because I've never encountered that. I mean... I guess, I mean, I don't think people would get weird ideas because we talk about sex and shit all the time here. I don't think people are thinking, oh, we're having wild fucking orgies off air.
You mean we're not?
No.
Oh, right. No. Yeah, that's right. I have never fucked a co-host.
Yep. Can confirm. So, moving on.
We'd know each other inside and out.
Yes.
Can I wear you like a glove?
No. Cecil voice. All right. Bears eat oats, and does eat oats. and little lambs eat ivy. A kid will eat ivy too at the Moonlight All Night Diner. Welcome to Not Fail. Sorry, I just couldn't resist. D.
I still haven't listened to it.
It's all right. It basically, it's a narrative podcast that had a storyline and has a storyline. It's just, it's gone on for so long that it's just shifted. Like, they had really good shtick, and I listened like the first 30, 50 episodes of it. But after a while, it's just, okay, we're running out of things to be weird about.
So when I first saw this email, because I'm not familiar with Welcome to Night Vale, and I was reading the lyrics, and I'm trying to sort of make them like lyrics in my head for a song I don't know, but I had also had What Does the Fox Say stuck in my head the previous day. So it's like, mares eat oats, and does eat oats, and little lambs eat ivy. You know, welcome to Not Vale. Ding, 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 ding. And I was trying to sort of fit it into that, but it wouldn't quite work. And I was like,
and again,
what are they doing?
Night Vale is one of those things where it's like, hey, listen to the show. Don't engage in the fandom.
Oh, one of those.
One of those kind of things.
I hope we don't have, like, shitty fans.
I hope not. I mean, we're not big enough to have that, thankfully.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be cool if we were bigger and more popular, but then again, also, it's like we just do the show for fun. We don't want to be beholden to a horde of fans. But yeah, those guys, whew.
Having to lay back and get your dick sucked at BLFC.
Well, that or just having, like, crazies.
Better start making cum now. You're going to have to offload a lot of it in Reno.
Oh, jeez.
Especially since we do our Patreon-sponsored trip to some of the brothels outside of Sparks.
Man, that's going to be hard. I'm going to be hard.
Like, I don't know. Do we want to go and, like, actually pay for the full experience? Or should we just go and, like, interview some of the people working there? So the name is Bernie Lover, and they were pointed out to us before. And it's Bernie as in being short for Saint Bernard. Because the last time this came up, you thought they were like a Bernie Sanders fan.
They're like a hardcore Bernie bro who loves his Utopia porn.
So Anonymous asked a question. Hi, casters of knots. Today I was browsing some Zootopia porn comics by Bernie Lover and made the mistake of reading a comment on one of their submissions. A person was moaning at them for drawing their female hyena OC with Judy Hopps, saying that it was taking it too far to draw porn of her not with Nick. What? Why do you think some people in this fantasy fandom enforce structures like monogamy and heterosexuality on fantasy characters that aren't even together in canon and certainly aren't sexual? Judy S. Nick 5 ever, shitlord! Wait, no.
You know, I do think that that's when somebody's a bit too invested in a character. Like, don't get me fucking wrong. I think that 34 of Nick and Judy is great. And Nick and Judy together is great. And you really don't see other characters paired up with them that often. But then again, I have also seen, like, Judy getting fucked by insert person here. You know, properly anthroized up. Because, I mean, in, quote, real life, with quotation fingers here, she's like 2.5 feet tall. So, you know, Bunny is most definitely not for sexual when it comes to humans. But, you know, when you, like, there's art, like, of those two together. But then you've also seen, like, I saw a pic, I think it's by Carrot, where it's like Judy has another bunny naked over a cop car. She's got her fucking baton wedged up in there. And, you know, nice. Like,
sounds like something I would write.
Yeah. Well, I saw a piece by Rat of Pony also with like the cop pony from an episode of a while back that was also involving her and a nightstick. And I was like, that fuzz would like that. I think it's just people getting too invested in a character. It's like, look, it's fucking, it's porn. And, like, I know there's this dude in the fucking Pony fandom who has, like,
the guy that thinks he's married to Twilight?
Well, there's that guy, but no. It's where he's gotten, like, dozens of artists to draw his OC fucking Spitfire. Like, and that's his fucking waifu, and I'm sure that I'm gonna hope that a person with enough money to do that is probably well adjusted enough to be like not get all mad when they see porn of this character or character getting fucked by someone else. But then there's the guy like who's married to Twilight Sparkle who gets really mad if actually we do have canon evidence of this. Canon evidence is fuck. We have real life evidence of this. when
with Kevin Sano's birthday.
His birthday, getting all the weird food of Twilight art, and this guy getting real mad because people are doing art, birthday art for him, and he's like, "It's so terrible for me to see porn of my wife with a dick being drawn for this other artist." And I think people like that probably need to step it back about a few dozen steps at that
point. Yeah,
because it's all fantasy. It ain't hurting you.
As long as nobody draws Fluttershy with anybody but my OC, then I agree with you.
Yeah. Only her, you're the only person who can fuck her in the butt.
That's right. Yeah.
The Anthro.
You know, surprisingly, though, actually, that commission got posted around a lot. I didn't see any weird negative possessive comments that.
And I'm pretty sure that this is one of those, it's a weird example, kind of like when we had with Jeeves earlier. It's like, mm-hmm. there are definitely some weirdos, but I'm also pretty sure it's not very widespread.
Yeah.
Where it's like, there are some people that are really obsessive about a thing, but odds are there's not that many of them.
And encountering
them is also probably like just a weird random encounter. Like you rolled a 99 and you get the real double triple weirdo that day. You know, because most people, like, if it's somebody's OC fucking a canon show character, most people are not going to be like, oh, yeah. You know, it's for the person.
Right.
It's not that. I certainly don't care if I see Nick or Judy boning another character that is not the other, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess people feel strongly because there is a...
They are an OTP fuzz.
It feels like the relationship's established in the original source material, not in romance, but at least in like a best friends kind of way. And people just sort of try to take that to the next step. Yeah. But some people like sort of take that too seriously, I guess.
Yeah, and again, I mean, the characters had really good in-movie chemistry, and it was really great. But hang on, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the people that get mad that if you draw a character wrong, like slightly, you know, oh, you drew this person's skin tone too wrong, or you did that. Actually, I saw a thing where, and again, this happens way more often than it should be. It's on Tumblr, right? Someone posts a work in progress and someone else is like, oh, you're fucking whitewashing this character. You're just like, and then like.
Oh, like, has it happened with some of the Steven Universe characters? It
happened, but this one happened with Lana from Archer. And
I don't know. She's the Hillary Clinton looking lady?
No, she's the second main character.
Okay.
With Archer. And someone's like getting all up in her grill. And she's like, here's the picture of the show. Here's my picture. Notice how the skin tones perfectly match. Oh, by the way, here's the fucking CMYK values. They're the exact fucking same thing. And then like one of the show staff was like, yeah. It's the fucking same, so shut your pie hole. Christ.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
like, well, I mean, they don't have to play nice because it's not a kid's cartoon, it's right?
Like, look, it's the same fucking skin tone. Fuck off.
God.
You know, some people take really weird ownership over characters. Yeah. Don't do that, kids. Really, seriously don't. Live and let fucking live when it comes to art. If it's not, if you didn't commission it, don't fucking care. Like, jack off or not, it's up to you. That's my fucking
come or do not, there is no try.
Exactly. You know, don't be like, don't get halfway through and be like, never mind, because then you give yourself blue balls and that's no fun. Commit all the way, you can do it. Fuck the bunny.
So do you want to discuss your poll, or did you set that up, or did you?
I didn't set it up. That was actually that was on the 4chan Co's Utopia thread. But it had over 2,000 responses at that point. It was like a, do you want to fuck the bunny? It's like fuck the bunny? Question mark. It's like fuck the bunny. No, bunny is not for sexual. Only for Nick. I am a disgusting normal fag, and it's like 12 options, and overwhelmingly people wish to fuck the bunny.
And interestingly, I mean, fuck the bunny is like 44% when I looked at it, and in second place was bunny is only for Nick, which I thought was actually kind of cute.
It's like, you know, we like this character, but she belongs with Nick. I'm going to actually look at it on my phone and see where it is. How much – the poll is, how much do you want to fuck the bunny? I tweeted it from my Sovereign Drake account.
Oh, I didn't know you
like
tweeted
a very, it's like in a very important poll. And the options are fuck the bunny, You can't fuck the bunny. Eh, might as well. Nah, not interested. But that's heresy. I just enjoyed the movie, nothing else. Yiff in hell. Judy is not for sex. She's for Nick's use only. And I'm a retarded normal fag. Those are the options. So I'm going to vote from my phone that one should indeed fuck the bunny and see what the results are. Wait, your vote has been counted. You've already voted in this poll. I'm from my phone? That's weird. All right, so of the 2,505 total votes, 42% of people say that they wish to fuck the bunny.
Makes sense to me.
God bless the internet. So, it is now 9:38. We are an hour and 15 minutes in, which is actually not as long as I thought it would be, but we stopped at 50 minutes-ish.
We blew through the emails. Should we just sort of ramble?
No, I think we should wrap it up because you have work tomorrow.
Yeah, it's been an exhausting 3 days, and I've still got work tomorrow.
Go in and deal with people.
But at least tomorrow I get to work from home again. So at least there's that, you know, I can just sort of chill out, play some music, you know, put some Doctor Who on or something like that.
Maybe we can go grab pizza.
Let's do that, because we haven't been able to do...
We've only did it Monday.
For those that don't know, Savin and I end up doing lunch together two or three times a week because we both work from home, and there's this little Italian restaurant roughly halfway between our places.
Which is... There's not a huge difference, like, literally 5 minutes apart. But yeah. It's this pizza place on the corner right there, and, like, the dude... We've been there enough, the dude recognizes us, knows our order, and, like, just brings us our fucking drinks and says, hey, you want the usual? It's like, yes. It's fucking great. I tip real well there.
Yeah. It's nice that they see us. He always gets us a to-go cup of our soda at the end.
Like, he knows that I'll only eat half my pizza, boxes it up without me having to ask for it. It's fucking great.
Yeah.
That's the benefit of being a regular. So, like, yeah, we show up there tomorrow for lunch. Like, hey, guys, how's it going? I was wondering where you were. Because, you know, you had to actually go in.
Yeah, so we had lunch together on Monday, and then we'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it'll be a few days. But it's nice. That is really nice about working from home, is that, like, sort of get out for a little bit, see a friend for lunch, and then, you know, it breaks up the day a bit.
Yep. All right, so... Again, you can always email us at notcast@foxduffers.com. You can also contact us via our Tumblr, notcast.tumblr.com. We have a Patreon. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/notcast. Want to toss a little bit our way. You can still buy dongs and stuff at adamandeve.com.
Coupon code NOT.
Yep. And beyond that, follow me on Twitter @SavinDrake. Follow me on YouTube @SavinDrake. Like and subscribe. And actually, our review of Fursonas has crossed over 1,000 views.
Oh, wow.
And it's still two-thirds positive. Cool. And nobody's, like, shit-posted in my comments in a while. It's nice.
Nice.
I was a little worried about that.
Speaking of the reviews that we did, the other review, Furries. Was it Furries?
Yep.
Yeah. Furries had it showing at Califer. So, actually, Califer just happened last weekend. So, if you are listening to the show and you went to Califer... Write in a con report. Write in with your thoughts on Furries or Fursonas.
Let us know.
Both movies aired there, so if you saw one or both of them, you know, write in, give us your feedback. At least Furries is also going to be showing at Anthrocon. So if you're going to Anthrocon, you'll get to see it. Also, a couple other things I wanted to mention about Anthrocon. One of the other things I'm really excited about, which I guess it's sort of redundant to mention this because Pepper was on the show a few weeks ago, but I'm really looking forward to Foxes and Pepper's first collab album, #.
Yep.
They've been tweeting the artwork on it, which is, like, really cool cover. They are also going to have a concert at Anthrocon where they're going to play the new album from beginning to end. You'll be able to pick up their new CD in the dealer's room.
You can like and subscribe to them, too.
Yeah, you totally should. I know Fox Amore has a YouTube channel, I believe. I don't know if Pepper does. But this isn't like a paid promotion or anything. I just like those guys, and I think this album will be really good.
Yeah, it's like, the only, like, paid promotion we've ever done is for, like,
Adam and Eve.
For Adam and Eve. Like, if we talk about shit on the show, it's because we actually fucking like it.
Yeah.
You know, we're not some fucking corporate whores with like, hey, let's talk about Lisa mattresses or, you know, whatever else. Because, like,
oh, Casper mattresses.
Yeah.
I hear they're really comfortable.
Well, like, last podcast on left has recently, like, they had an Adam and Eve ad in their last episode 225. And it was, they actually did kind of, they do the bed music underneath it, kind of like we do and a lot of other shows do. Like, they let you know that there's an ad going on, but it's just real weird. and what's funny is, like, the guys on Giant Bombcast, they do ads as well, and they just take the piss. Mm-hmm. Like, they do, they follow, you know, the contract letter, but they're just, like, they have fun with it and mock the thing.
I've listened to some ads that, like, Tell Them Steve Dave has done, and they'll talk, like, if the sponsor drops them or something like that, a couple episodes later, be like, they were a shitty sponsor anyway.
Yeah, they didn't pay us shit.
So weird. But you can follow me at FuzzWolf and also go to FurPlanet.com.
Buy his books.
Buy my books, not a paid advertisement. Or BadDogBooks.com, also buy ebooks, not a paid advertisement.
Yep. And just follow the podcast on Twitter. That's where we post all of our shit. And if we ever get into a shit-stirring mood, that's where it'll end up. Not that we ever get into a shit-stirring mood.
Yeah, we rarely do. I will occasionally retweet or link, like, information about sexuality or something like that.
Like, the most we've done recently with the account is, like, we were boosting the showing of furries at Califer because we like that documentary and we think people should see it.
Order now. I don't know where you can order it.
No idea. So, it is on that note. On the note, good night.
And big balls.